Our speaker tonight is our pastor at Byron Center Protestant Reformed Church, Reverend Van Overloop. He's had a really busy week, but we're glad that he consented to do this. And I will let him introduce what part of the verse he's going to speak on.
Women walking in wisdom, understanding the will of the Lord. Those first three verses the whole section, but the first three that are part of the theme for the basis for this conference is Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As wise, redeeming the time, understanding what the will of the Lord is. The songs that we sang and the songs that were sung for us are powerful reminders of the calling that God has given to us, and particularly descriptive of the relationship which our God has with us, His children. There's times when retreats such as this are accused of being unrealistic. Retreats where we can get away from what's real in our lives, but then we always have to go back to that reality. I know it's been the prayer of this committee, as well as mine, that would not be the case for us, but rather that this retreat is an opportunity for each one of us, me too, to be aware increasingly of what the will of the Lord is for us. And that we learn here not something that we want to leave here, but something that we need to take with us. And we do it with prayer. We listen with the prayer that the Lord will enable us to take this home, and not merely just take it home and have it in our heads, but that increasingly it becomes a part of our heart and life. Life. Real life. Seems vain. Burdened with anxious cares. Each one of us knows what it is to grope at times in dark despair. Sometimes it's sicknesses, illnesses, hurts. But for anyone who is married in an institution that is so precious to God that He instituted it even before there was the fall into sin and before the promise of salvation, there is going to be trouble. Nothing is or can be the source of greater joy, but those familiar words, by reason of sin, there remain in us reasons for trouble and sorrow. And that's exactly understandable to us. That's exactly what the devil is so busy working at. He wants us to look at our life and feel weary and hurting, unhappy, empty, unfulfilled, pressure, inadequate, overwhelmed, frustrated, mundane, monotonous. Same carpet. Once in a while we get new, but same toilets, same wash. And he just doesn't seem to know what it is to pick up his socks. Or if it's not that, it's something else. Habits he has that may have been endearing, but can be tremendously irritating. Same recipes. Can't find anything new. It's just like closets, right? Same old clothes. Kids having the same needs every week. So that you feel that you're not contributing and that you're not using your talents. Responsible for him and them. Who are you? I'm only a mom. I'm just a wife. But who am I? Do I have reason to exist as a person all by myself? We come here and we're all smiles. We're happy. And we can put on fronts. But do we really see ourselves as unworthy and at times unacceptable, even to God? Surely. To our husband and children. No words of appreciation or very few thank yous after that meal, that load of wash, that room picked up for the thousandth time. Husbands and children are often surprised to learn that that's the way you feel. And sometimes the husbands just don't get it. That the wife wants to be told that she's appreciated without having to ask for it. Finally dawned on me. Finally, there's hope. Why it is that when it comes to birthdays or anniversaries, particularly anniversaries and Valentine's days,
that the woman waits. Why doesn't she just come right out and say it? Happy Valentine's Day. Happy anniversary. No, it's a game. Is he going to remember? Because it's this idea. The reality is this idea. I don't want to have to tell him and ask him to appreciate what I do. I want him to say it all by himself. Shall we have another conference? Sometimes people don't give us confidence, and especially the husband and the children don't give us the confidence that we feel that we need. And then either we have to resign ourselves to the dismal outlook that we're just going to have to live without ever getting it. They're throwing candy at me now. Either we resign ourselves to the dismal outlook that we'll never get that appreciation, or we look for it elsewhere. We throw ourselves into church work. We make ourselves busy in the school. We put ourselves forth so that someone somewhere will tell us that they appreciate what we're doing and that we're important. Yes, there's times when life seems vain and we are burdened with anxious care and grope in dark despair. And we grope, and this is our human nature. We never stop being frail children of dust and feeble as frail. We never stop being that. We never stop. We never lose the human nature that we're conceived with. And therefore, there's always the tendency, always, against which we have to resign ourselves to fighting, because it will not go away all by itself. It'll grow as a cancer. That if these feelings continue to develop within us, it gets worse. And we make it worse. Self-pity, feeling sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we just plain sit down and mope. Sometimes we try to call somebody else to see if they can cheer us up. We don't tell them why we're calling. We just need a call. And sometimes it gets so bad that we don't even want to talk to anybody. We close the windows and we even will let the phone ring and not answer. We don't confront ourselves. Now, I believe, listen, I am judging you by myself here. I believe that this is a real part of our lives. It may not be for some of you right now, but I believe every one of you have an idea, a very good idea, of what it is that I've just attempted to describe. What does wisdom say? See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The first thing that we have to realize with wisdom is this. That by seeking to find approval in ourselves, from others, from even those that are the closest to us. We are setting up what we must identify as an unbiblical standard. The older I get, the more I realize the importance of, you ask the wrong question, you're going to get the wrong answer. We can't and may not ask the wrong question. The key is not looking at others and seeing in them something that we wish we had, namely a dynamic personality, a strong will, physical beauty, natural gifts, an exceptional husband, and such wonderful and obedient children. By looking to our husband, by looking to our children, by looking to our position in the church for self-worth or importance, is making people big. And God, tiny. That's not the way we sang. That's not what they sang. That's not what the girls from Trinity sang. But we are good at making people big and God small. And we have to remember that among the people, what others think of us, is ourselves. We are one of those people that we often make big. And what we think of ourselves becomes more important than what God thinks of us. It is far more important than you that you know who you are in Christ. The wrong question, wrong answer, the wrong question, a wrong question, a very common wrong question is this one. Who am I? Wrong question, you're going to end up with the wrong answer. The right question is, who am I in Christ? To conduct ourselves correctly, we must know who we are in Christ. Christian conduct stands on the basis of Christian character. Your Christian character is who you are in Jesus Christ. But who you are in Jesus Christ isn't where it starts. That may be the subfloor. That may be the trusses that cross the first floor of the house on which you're going to build this Christian care conduct. You've got this Christian character. But underneath, below, less seen, but must be there, is the foundation that Christian character begins. This is wisdom. With an accurate, growing, all-pervasive awareness of God. Of God. Of who He is. Of what He's done. Of His worthiness. Just because of who He is. And what He's done for us. His relationship. Of all the people in the world, No, let me change that. Of all the religions in the world, those who identify themselves with the name Protestant Reformed should know that. Because the Protestant Reformed have declared, and correctly, that for them, the development of and the awareness of the concept of the covenant is so important. And if covenant means anything, maybe we should say this. This is the covenant that God graciously, mercifully, according to His abundant mercy, and never in His undying love, has established a relationship of friendship with me, with you, with us. But it starts, Lord's Day 1, He established that relationship with me. I am not my own. I'm His. Who am I? I'm His. I've been bought with His own blood. No greater price has He paid than for me, for you. Wisdom begins with knowing that we are in Christ and that we never cease striving to understand that concept, that biblical truth, more and more. An accurate, growing, all-pervasive awareness of God and His relationship with me in Jesus Christ. Then, walking circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, wisdom will take the knowledge that God gives to us so clearly in His Word, no mystery, so clearly in His Word, and will seek wisdom to apply the knowledge of God's Word to ourselves in the best possible way unto the highest end. That wisdom which is from above knows that our focus must be not on religion, but on relationship. Not your relationship to your husband, but God's relationship to you. And therefore your relationship to Him. Not as fools. Wisdom always stands contrasted to folly. The fool, according to chapter 4, verse 18, has their understanding darkened. They're alienated. From the life of God, alienated, that's a fool, alienated from the life of God. Wisdom says, I'm not alienated, I'm embraced, I'm held underneath of the everlasting arms by the life of God. And that's true because they're without Christ. The wise among you will recognize that the foolish woman, or even the wise woman who can at times be foolish because we are frail children of dust and feeble as frail, that sometimes we're governed by our instead of by knowing God. A foolish woman recognizes that in her, not necessarily automatically in a wrong, sinful way, but because God made you to complement men, to complete them, women are made with that more, that greater focus on feelings and on emotions. In itself, not wrong, when they are governed by what we know, not when they govern what we know. Then folly. Wisdom, I know, and therefore I have to be in control of and use my emotions and my feelings. The foolish person always has a distorted view of reality. How many times have I told you? That's a distorted view of reality. I'm always picking up your socks. That's a distorted view of reality. Once a day, but you know what I mean. We can make very easily, feeble as frail, we can make things big. Pretty small. But if I stare at it and stare at it, it's pretty big. Wisdom puts it in perspective. The fool also does not consider consequences, because the fool always seems to want to focus on gratification now. You know what wisdom says over against that? We sang it. Wisdom says, till I for glory meet, in glory stand. Till I go home, pilgrim, home, home. Wisdom says, marriage, the real marriage, the real one, in which every one of my needs is met. Not my wants, but my needs, every single one of them is met. A faithful husband. Proverbs 26, verse 20, verse 6. Who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful husband? We've got one. Each one of us. Perfect. Never fails. Never. But we want now. We don't want to feel so useless. We don't want to feel so walked over. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you, every one of you who profess faith in Christ, I declare to every one of you that you have been given wisdom. You have Christ. Proverbs 8, Christ is wisdom. Those verses read from Proverbs 3, you have. We need to grow in wisdom. Just like we always sing, we need to grow in patience. But you have wisdom. And wisdom delights in the truth. What's the truth that wisdom knows and wisdom wants to focus on? God is. He is. Everything else is feeble and frail, but He is. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He is good. He is so good. He's nothing but good. And He's never done anything but good to me. He's wise. He is wisdom. He is wise. In everything that He does, in everything that He's done to me, He loves me. For Christ's sake, it has to be that, but He loves me. Even me. The Bible tells me so. That's the only way I know. But He loves me. He graciously has justified me. I am His. And He is mine. Christ, this is wisdom. This is truth. Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, King of my heart, Christ within me, below me, above me, never to part. Christ on my right hand, Christ on my left hand, Christ all around me, shield in the strife, Christ in my sleeping, Christ in my sitting, Christ in my rising, light of my life. The Lord Jehovah is my light. Whom shall I fear? Jehovah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Christ in our hearts. Thinking about me. Christ be on all our tongues. Be the vision. In the eyes that see me, the ears that hear me. That's wisdom. Again, Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ be within me, below me, above me, never to part. Well, that being true, no wonder you feel unwanted, monotonous, alone, frustrated. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Your God will undertake to guide the future as in ages past. Your hope, your confidence will let nothing shake. Be still, my soul. The waves and the winds still know the Christ who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul. The hour is hastening on. When will we be forever with the Lord? When disappointment, grief, and fear will be gone, and sorrow forgot, and love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, and safe, blessed, we shall meet at last. Now that's truth. That's not just words that you sing. It's not just knowledge that we have in our heads. This is what we must pray becomes a part of what we believe. And again, not intellectually. The devil knows that. He goes to hell and burns forever. But that is true for us in our hearts. Wisdom says, God in Christ is my husband. Wisdom says, God in his love for me and in his perfect wisdom has given to me the perfect mate. I might not have known what I was doing, but he did, and he does. So then I see time, and I'm a part of time, and I'm in time. And I have to redeem the time. Redeeming the time means that we see time like an ever-flowing stream, running right past us. And in our moping, and in our feeling sorry for ourselves, it carries us. But we must redeem the time. We must see that time is filled with opportunities, God-given opportunities, to serve in gratitude our so good God, our Savior and our Lord, doing the will of the Lord. When I know of his love, when I know of his care, when I know thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. In Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. That's the way to contentment. That's the way to find peace in your soul. Then you realize and begin to realize that what you're doing in vacuuming that same old carpet, picking up those same old socks, cleaning that same toilet, washing those same dishes, cleaning that repeatedly snotty nose, is a service to God for all that he has done for you. It's a way to love him, who loves you first, and showed it at the greatest price. Then it's not mundane, it's a joy. It's a thrill to be allowed to serve the King, your Savior, and your Lord. It is good that I may still to God draw nigh. The Lord Jehovah blessed, my refuge and my rest. He shall be my praise, confessed forevermore. Love Him, serve Him, obey Him. That's who you are in Christ. Thank you for your great attention.